Hello. Whoa.
Where'd that come from?
Let me clear my throat.
Oh my goodness.
Hello. And welcome to your favorite podcast in the world.
Hallmark's the Spot.
Starring
Ellie. Starring Ellie.
And Jim. The Hallmark Movie Podcast.
That's right. The one, the only, the one and only.
This is episode 23.
Woohoo!
Of Hallmark the Spot, or as our friends call it, HMTS.
We're coming up on...
No, they don't.
We're coming up on getting very close to one podcast a day for a month.
What are you talking about?
We're past 21 days. Right, yeah. 23.
Oh,
we're coming up so to once we hit 31.
You could choose to listen to one podcast every day for the entire month.
That's right, and saying. That would be a great way to spend a month. Just saying.
I don't know about that, but well, if you can listen to a few, that's fine. Well, what's on the show today?
So, I was thinking we should have one Winterfest movie,
yeah,
two for the win. And last night I watched, finally, one of the Hallmark movies and mysteries we had not seen before, Meet Me at Christmas. So I think we should talk about those two.
Okay.
And maybe then we should talk about one we really like to lift our spirits.
Spoiler alert. We're not going to have a lot to say about...
Oh, we're going to have a lot to say.
About two for the win.
Oh, we are. I'm sure we are.
I lost my cursor. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I found it again. It was on a different screen. I didn't even know it.
Right.
All right.
Two for the win?
Okay, two for the win.
What's this Hallmark say about it?
Starring... Yeah. Charlotte Sullivan and Trevor Donovan.
And Trevor Donovan. We've seen him in many movies.
Yes, he's the guy, the big lunkhead with the big ears.
We call him Jughead. Which is awful, because we just called somebody a name. Okay, so okay. Forget I'm that. Sorry. Forget Even that we did that.
Luke McFarlane, we call Nacho Dude all the time. And
That's true. And don't we call somebody else something? Nostril Dude.
No.
Oh,
nothing.
Okay.
That other name, nickname, we don't say on the air.
Oh, well, but okay. So what I'm saying about this guy is I used to just call him the male model because he seems like he's a male model. Probably is. And we first saw him in that Christmas movie where...
Yeah, he plays an actor.
His daughters get married. His sisters get married in that small town.
Right.
And he has the problem with the bridal shop owner who keeps on trying to... The co-owner who keeps on trying to use him to boost their social media presence. But he falls in love with the good co-owner.
Right.
And then I'm sure he was in one of those like Winterfest.
Yeah, something
movies
or other.
Of yore, and he was in
what?
The Law one. The
Law one?
Something law fall I don't know, Lock, Stock and Order or whatever. What was it? It was something like Law and Order, but he was the small town attorney. He'd been out there and been like a big corporate attorney, and he came home and there was a property dispute with the woman from Sleigh Bells Ring and from Timeless Christmas or whatever.
Okay.
I can't remember anybody's names tonight. Forget about it. Anyway, we've seen him in many a movie.
Yes.
USS Christmas too, which they just replayed last Friday night to get people all foamed up for Trevor Donovan.
Right. And the Charlotte Sullivan, we've never seen before.
Never seen her before. At least. We would have remembered because she blends right into that snow, baby.
Well, let me tell you the synopsis, then I'll take a quick peek at her credits and see if we have seen her before.
What if we have? Oh, no. Okay.
Okay. Very short synopsis. A world champion ski racer and local ski instructor find romance on the slopes as he returns home and prepares for the biggest race of his life. Single sentence.
Nice work. The Winter Classic.
The Winter.
That he's trying to win for the fourth time.
For the first time.
Fourth.
No, I'm saying he's trying to win for the fourth time for the first time.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Let's see this Charlotte Sullivan's credits. ABC's hit series Rookie Blue, Chicago Fire, the Kennedys,
nothing else Hallmark.
Yeah. Nothing. Or to write home about.
We should not do this after we work. At the end of the day, we are not as charitable as we sometimes are.
We're very charitable.
Anyway.
The most charitable I've ever been.
Anyway, basically it's true. He's a big skier. They leave out the part about the father was also a championship skier.
Right.
Her father was a championship skier. And she was a coach.
Right. Well, let's say you forgot the major part is that he's coming back from an injury.
Oh, I only left out that major part. I was getting the people in there.
All right. Coming back from an injury. And he's also, his soul's a little injured because he has lost his confidence.
He has. He had a big spill on some icy slope in Europe and wrecked his knee and didn't know if he was coming back. And it was bad.
And the young whippersnapper skier.
Oh, yeah.
He's the odds-on favorite to win the downhill, the Winter
Classic.
The Winter Classic downhill.
Yep.
I forgot it was called Winter Mountain.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's called Winter Mountain.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Winter Mountain, the Winter Classic. And
I can tell you something about this. I thought they were going to make the kid more of a jerk.
He wasn't really.
No.
He was just a kid.
I thought they were going to make him like one of those condescending Jamie Tott type guys.
Yeah. I thought they were going to make the other woman who was there not to race, but just happened to be around. The other professional skier.
Okay, yeah.
I thought that they were going to make, that she was going to come in and mess something up or, do you know, that she would have a bigger part.
Or she would tell them, like, you really need to get a better coach or something like
that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, let's go on the road together. Like, don't retire. Something.
Yeah.
I thought that she would have more of a role, forgetting that this is Hallmark and it's really about the woman.
Right.
But in this, who has the top billing? The woman.
Does she? Yeah.
Yeah. And yet, I feel he was definitely the main character. She had a sister. She had a sidekick.
Mm-hmm.
He had a sidekick.
Right.
That physical therapist, you know, is going to be a doctor soon. And of course, the sister and the doctor, the would-be doctor, are, you know, have been crushing on each other for years.
Right.
And he, Trevor Donovan's character and Charlotte's character, I don't remember any of their names, they were best friends.
I told you what their names were, didn't I?
I don't remember. I just said I don't remember their names.
I'll look it up. Go ahead. Keep going.
So he returns. There's some chippiness with his dad. I guess his parents run the lodge on Winter Mountain. And he's always thinking that his dad is telling him what to do.
Right.
And so his dad.
It's kind of a minor subplot, too. It's not like.
Yeah, but it's important because it's part of his confidence. And it's he comes back and he realizes. So his friend, who's the ski instructor.
Right.
Kayla.
Is her name, and Justin is his name.
Kayla and Justin. So Kayla
in a tree.
Is a ski instructor for his parent at the parents' lodge.
Right.
And he comes back and realizes, like, Kayla and her sister and his parents are really close, and he can't get away from them. And then like he had this injury, and the only person who stuck by him was his publicist, basically his manager slash publicist. And she says, "Oh, we're going to get you a new coach," because his coach up and said, "Man, I don't think he's coming back from this injury or whatever."
Yeah, and went on to coach other people.
Yeah, which is kind of crappy, but maybe that's the world of highly competitive coaching. And so they get there, and he's like, in this, somebody says, "Oh, you know, Kayla, you should coach Justin," or whatever.
Right.
And she's like, he's like, "No, no, my manager has other irons in the fire." And the manager is quickly like, "Tell me about your coaching experience. I think this would be great."
Yeah.
And so she does some demoralizing things, like makes him go down the bunny hill.
Right.
I could understand maybe not going down that black diamond like he did on the first day,
mm-hmm.
but going on the bunny hill, they did that just for kicks, like a good
to make it humorous.
Yeah, to make it humorous. I don't have a lot more to say about this, except that she helps him with his confidence. She helps him with his get confidence in his body, but also like healing some of his psychic wounds.
Yeah.
And that she stands up to the dad and is like, "Did you tell him you're proud of him? Did you give him some, you know," she
positive
said,
reinforcement.
"All he needs now is positive reinforcement. So give him positive reinforcement."
Right.
So he comes down and his dad goes, "You look good up there." And he's like visibly shocked.
Yeah.
So the
plus
tension.
His
of,
father doesn't sell it very well. It's like, you look good up there, son of mine.
Yeah. So they did a whole bunch of things for humor.
Yeah.
Like the country line dancing.
Right.
In downtown, the bunny slope, the way he fell with his skis crossed over his head that was in the promos. Like, yeah. But he, you know, he eventually comes back. Meanwhile, that professional skier, she approaches Kayla about being her coach. And so that's where the tension comes in.
Right. But it's another one of those, but we're leaving.
Yeah, we're leaving Sunday morning, and the Winter Classic is Sunday morning. And I find it really hard to believe that any coach
would is going to leave
their coachee, you know, on the morning of it. Oh, but, you know, I'll be there to see the practice run, and then I got to go to the airport.
Right.
And then he has also kind of announced that this is going to be his last race. He's going to retire from racing. And so throughout the movie, he's considering, you know, what does my life look like if I retire? And you could tell he's feeling some feels for this woman. And so he kind of wants to be where she is. Kudos to him for being like, "Okay, I'm retiring." And she's like, "Yeah, I'm going to Europe to coach this person." And he's like, "Hey, you got to do it."
Right. And he does what he says he was going to do anyway. It's not like he was just doing it for her.
Yep. Yep. So is there anything else we have to say about it before we say how it ends?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. So he wins.
Yes. Sets a new course record.
Sets a new course record. Still is retiring. Doesn't change his mind.
Right.
And she shows up when he's celebrating.
Yeah.
And realizes, because she realizes, well, gee, I'm on this amazing mountain. So why should I go to Chamonix or whatever and train this woman? I'm going to convince her to come here and train with me.
Right.
Which is kind of generally how that works. At least... I don't know, though. I don't know anything about... Hey, somebody can write us an email and send me straight about competitive skiing.
She could have worked this out long before.
Yeah, she didn't have to, like...
Getting in the car, getting ready to go.
Exactly. Exactly. So I felt like they were okay interpersonally. Like, no huge miscommunications.
Right.
Which is a welcome change.
Mm-hmm.
However, not a lot of sparkage How'd you feel about the chemistry?
Yeah, I didn't get the chemistry at all between them. I hate to bring up something physical about the
Go ahead, it's part of the
female lead portion of the
okay. Trying. Well, we already called the guy Love Junkhead.
Trying. Yeah.
We already called him Junkhead.
She is so pasty white. She blended in with all the snow.
I already said that. She blends right in. Well, and her haircut was terrible, in my opinion. Right. So I couldn't stop looking at her haircut.
Yeah.
If she wasn't wearing makeup, you would have lost her on that mountain.
But she, I don't know. I just wasn't feeling it all the way around in this movie.
No, and like I said, at least it didn't have any of those tropes that we hate, except for the, oh, I got to leave tomorrow morning. But you kind of knew she wasn't going to leave.
Yeah.
So she wasn't even selling that.
Yeah, she was going to show up for the race, of course.
Well, and I was a little concerned, although not for any real reason. But I was a little concerned about her leaving her sister in a way, because clearly their father had died.
Mm-hmm.
It was just the two of them.
Right.
And, you know, here she's going to go. But now she was going to take over for her racing. You know, she had the junior racers that she was coaching. And so then the sister was going to take over. It just seemed like that was a whole lot of house for like one sister to live in now. I don't know. It just seemed like she was going to come back and all that, like on the off season. It was going to be fine. It just was kind of, I don't know, something about it. Like you said, it didn't sell me on any of it. That she was like, oh, I can't wait. I just have to be a coach. And, you know, she was more like the lady doth protest too much.
Right.
With the coaching. And I don't know.
So.
Yeah.
So what do you rate it?
I'm going to give it a 3.
Okay.
Middle of the road. Because it didn't anger me. 2.5
middle of the road.
Oh, yeah. 3.5 is? 2.5? 2.5 then.
Okay.
It didn't anger me. It didn't do anything for me. So, just like deleted it. Like, I don't know if we deleted it.
Yeah,
but
we
deleted it right away.
Yeah.
But like I said, it was not great. Not great. But it was nice to see some skiing. I don't know. I can't even say that. And that scene where the manager is banging on the window and they're having a conversation
through the window.
Her outside, her inside and him outside. And they're in like the lodge lobby with people sitting around. It's so rude. Who came up with that? That was terrible. So, I don't know. I just didn't get any of it. Because
there was a door very close by
that
he could have walked into.
But it's like, I'm not even going to walk in to talk to you, or she's not going to run out.
Yeah.
Like, if it were me and I wanted to talk to him, I would have run out.
Right.
To the door, even if it was freezing. Mm-hmm. You're only going like 6 feet outside the door and flagging the guy down and being like, hey, come in here. I need you to meet this guy, you know? So, anyway.
So.
2.5.
2.5. So what I say is 2 for the win. I say pew for the win.
Pew for the win.
Because this one smelled lousy. I had that one locked and loaded, and then I blew the delivery.
That you blew it. That's what happened. See, you have to be spontaneous.
Yeah. I give this a 2. Yeah. 1.5.
Ooh, okay.
Not that either of the two don't offend me, but like you said, no chemistry. And especially him, very little personality, you know, charm, whatever, you know, is most of your top leading men have.
Right.
You know. Some kind of personality. This guy has no, he doesn't have it. He doesn't have the it factor.
Well, I mean, we just watched.
He's no Brendan Elliott.
Oh, he's no Brendan Elliott for sure. No Brendan Elliott in anything.
And
like
plus,
Christmas in Vienna.
Like you brought up, the story was boring. boring, boring all the way through. There was no tension for the most part all the way through.
Right.
And they had it. They had it. Like I said, make the kid a jerk. Make a villain. Right. Put a villain in there that must be defeated.
Right. Or even the pro, like stealing her away. Yeah. He's like, you gotta go. I understand.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, being a sensitive new age guy is great. But if we need a little something to like make us believe that you're upset that she's leaving.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't know.
You needed some tension in this story, and there was none.
And yesterday we saw the countdown.
It was bland as a snowbank.
Right. And yesterday we saw...
I don't know why that's bland. I don't know.
Well, because it's... Whatever. I'm just saying, yesterday we watched the countdown of the Winterfest movies.
Right.
Which, you know, the Winter in Veil was number two. Yeah.
Which I call shenanigans.
It should have been number one. Yeah, it's definitely the best Winterfest movie.
Number two, taking a shot at love. There's no way that was the best number one Winterfest movie.
I'm just saying that was the best one that they've shown so far of the ones that they've just rolled out the cash for.
But there's been others in the past that are a whole lot better.
Yes. So, but we just did watch... Taking a shit. That was me. I was scratching.
Oh, okay. I was wondering where that noise came
from. Sorry, I was scratching on a seam. But we just watched it. And Taking a Shot at Love was way better. Like the Luke McFarlane character with the, even though he's wearing the Rangers gear the whole way through.
Yeah.
You know, you believe that his whole career is on the line. You don't know he's going to get called up. Right?
Right.
He's thinking about what comes next. This guy is just like, yeah, I'm going to retire and then thinks about what comes next.
I'm going to retire and I'm going to ski every day and then hang out in the lodge at night. I'm going to go, what kind of existence is that?
That's like a teenager existence.
Yeah.
You know, I can understand he's been on the circuit. It's hard work. It's tough to do all that traveling. It's expensive. Like he said, you got to work like a dog with all the endorsements and stuff on the off season to pay for the travel and everything when you're in the winter season. So anyway, I just. Anyway.
So that's it. So that's it for that one.
That's it. That we've talked about.
Keep
that
a enough. Delete.
Delete.
We don't consistently do that.
No, but we should.
Yes.
Well, So, Meet Me at Christmas.
Meet Me at Christmas.
Is coming up.
Starring.
I will say that I did not mind rewatching Taking a Shot at Love.
Okay.
Even though she still doesn't know how to run a business. Right. She still says no at every opportunity. In the end, they at least have like a little bit of chemistry. You believe that they're... There's something going on.
Okay, we talked about Taking a Shot at Love in the last show.
No, we didn't.
Yeah, that was the last review.
No, it wasn't. Because that was the first one. It premiered on January 2nd.
Okay, two ago.
I'm just saying.
Whatever.
I'm just saying that Two for the Win made me appreciate Taking a Shot at Love. That's
okay.
And that didn't get a high rating.
I will concur that Two for the Win... is worse than taking a shot at love.
Which is saying something for you.
Right.
Because you don't like that Alexis Panavega.
Right, because she can't act.
Yes. So anyway, that's all I was going to say.
Okay.
So stop trying to like curtail my little tangents.
I didn't
tangents.
Want you to review that movie again.
don't try to curtail my tangents.
Okay.
Maybe I would have some great insight I didn't have the first time. What if somebody didn't listen to us?
I apologize.
What if they just subscribed and this is the first they heard what we think about Taking a Shot at Love? What about that? Think about those people.
I didn't think of those scenarios.
You should think about that. It's important.
People
coming in midstream, they need to get a little taste of who we are.
I'm thinking of it now. See, you've convinced me.
So then a deeper cut is Meet Me at Christmas.
Meet Me at Christmas starring Catherine Bell and Mark Declan.
Declan. And so what I'm going to say to the people who are just joining us for the first time is that we did not get around to reviewing all of the Christmas movies. Yes. So we said, as we go on reviewing these Winterfest movies, we'll sprinkle them in. So last night I happened to watch Meet Me at Christmas, Catherine Bell and
Mark Declan.
Mark Declan. And what do they say I saw?
What?
What do they say I saw?
Oh.
What does Hallmark say I saw?
Synopsis is, when her son's wedding planner quits, Joan must coordinate his Christmas Eve wedding with the help of a beau.
With beau.
I'm sorry.
With the help of beau.
I gotta put my glasses on.
He is a beau.
Oh, there we go. Beau. That's much better.
Beau is a beau.
Yes. When her son's wedding planner quits, Joan must coordinate his Christmas Eve wedding with the help of beau, the bride's uncle. They realize their fates and paths are intertwined.
That's right. So, the bride, everyone, is Sage Kitchen, which is an awesome stage name right up there with Nazneen Contractor.
Sage Kitchen. And who is Sage Kitchen?
We may remember her from Winter in Veil.
That's right.
She is the waitress. She tells her server to eat some spetzel. And get some spetzel, eat like a local, get some spetzel, and come by the Edelweiss, the Glug wine is on me. Hey, what's that? Spiced wine. You're going to love it.
Tune in next week as Ellie acts out another scene from Winter in Veil.
Oh, maybe we can do the kitchen scene. Where he says, turn on the water. When I say so, and she goes, turn on the water. He goes, yeah. And she turns on the water and boom, water all over him.
Wow. You can tell a story, honey.
But now I already just told that story. So next time it'll be about the lists. And that's all I'm going to say.
Okay. Just gave it. Leave him wanting more. Leave him wanting more. That's the old showbiz term.
Oh, you're being mean now. No, that's your way of telling me to shut up.
No, it's not. You gotta dole that out in tasty morsels.
I'm still hearing shut up. Okay, so
run down the real story.
The real story is, when they were 18, or at least when Joan was 18,
right,
she had a magical love at first sight. We totally hit it off, kismet kind of a day with a kid named Beau, who is taking photos. They do a snowman competition together, and I think they get hot chocolate with 3 marshmallows because more than 3 is too sweet, and fewer than 3, you wish you had 3. You wish you had more. So they don't even know each other's names. They go on a Ferris wheel. She helps Beau conquer his fear of heights by enticing him to go on that death trap.
Yes.
It went very fast.
I wouldn't trust that thing.
and they get off the Ferris wheel and say, well, you know, there's this somehow. Somebody says, oh, you should come to the tree lighting tonight or whatever at Snow Lodge or whatever the heck it's called. Yeah, I forget what it was.
You bring an ornament and you put it on the tree and you get your Christmas wish.
When the lights come on, you make a wish and you get. So they said, okay, we're going to meet at the tree, mm-hmm. but I don't even know your name. Well, we aren't going to exchange names. These kids.
Yeah.
These serendipity plots. Like I would never do it. So regardless, she shows up and he never shows up. She puts her ornament on the thing, and it's an ornament about them.
Uh-huh.
And, at the snowman competition.
Right.
And she's standing there waiting for him, and some guy comes over, Morgan, I think, and says, hey, you go to Elmwood University or whatever it was. And she was like, no, I start in the, and he's like, hey, I'm hanging out with my friends. Why don't you come over? Well, fast forward 28 years. Her son's getting married at the same lodge where she had spent the time. And that man, Morgan, was her husband and the father of her son. And he died when Morgan was young.
Right.
And she's there looking at the tree, remembering this wonderful day that she had, not with Morgan, but with the unnamed suitor. And this guy says, hey, you think you can move? I'm trying to take a picture of this tree.
Yeah.
And
well,
she,
let's point out that you don't know
that he's,
at this point that the person she was hanging out with was not
her husband.
Was not her husband.
Right. Well, I kind of knew that already.
Yeah, I know, but they don't make it plain. But they don't make it.
They're trying to make you think that it's the same guy.
So she has always told the story to her kid that that's how
they met. It was love at first sight. They met at the tree.
Right.
Well, because that was the story that he would tell, and she would go along. So anyway, so the guy tells her to move, and she's kind of rude.
Yeah.
And so they're totally like oil and water immediately. They go inside. They find out the wedding planner has quit, and she is immediately antagonistic toward the guy who says, you know, turns out, oh, I'm Bo. I'm the uncle of the bride.
Right.
And let's help these kids out.
Mm-hmm.
So they get this humongous list that's as long as your arm of all these things that have to be done before the wedding in 3 days, which is happening on Christmas Eve. So one of these destination weddings, bad storm, parents can't get out of Vermont.
Yeah.
Right. So these two were stuck with each other. And it's they find some common ground. She misunderstands something or she gets upset about something. And then she's snippy to him. And, you know,
yeah,
I was so frustrated. I was mean to Jim at the end of it because I was so frustrated by this character when they realize, oh, Bo and Joan, we met. We were here and he said, please let me tell you why I didn't meet you at the tree. And she's like, I don't care. I don't want to know. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you find out later. This woman fell in love at first sight with this guy.
Yeah.
It's 28 years later. She's been alone for like 20 years or something.
Yeah.
She's only dated one other guy. And you wouldn't be like a little nicer to the man, the boy that you fell in love with?
Yeah.
I'd be like, yeah, please tell me. Why weren't you there? I would want to know. I'd be, you know, she's thought about him all these years. He's thought about her. He kept a picture of her. Like, and yet she keeps on saying stuff she doesn't mean and being bitchy. I'm sorry. I don't usually say that, but she's totally being, I guess I should say, witchy. Feel free to respell that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was so terrible. And then she finds out because, oh, yeah, I really like him. And then there's this whole thing. Oh, he's a travel photographer. Now he's thinking about putting down roots, being closer to his niece and nephew. And hey, it would also make me closer to you. And she goes, oh, yeah, yeah, I'd like that. She is inspired to start, put up a website to be a wedding planner because she is just loving the whole thing. And thinking, oh, yeah, that would be great for you to be close by. She gets a little hearsay from someone that he's going to be going to Alaska the day after Christmas.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it's an iceberg, you know? And I'm going to say iceberg because she wants to, like, sink that relationship.
Yeah.
It's awful. So she's all standoffish. And he said something I thought was great. I probably should have watched just that one scene twice. But he said something like, oh, is that how you really feel? And she said, oh, I just think it's so difficult when people don't tell the truth or something. He's like, yeah, almost as bad as when people don't say what they really mean or whatever. Yeah. So he like called her on the fact that she's like cutting off her nose to spite her face. She's being really mean to him because she's hurt or defensive or whatever. I mean, I don't even know what it is.
Right.
A guy stood you up. You met this guy. You got married. Like, why are you holding a grudge?
Yeah, you fell in love with another guy, had a kid. You know, what's to be upset about?
Yeah. And not only that, that was fine. And
can I interject something here?
Go ahead.
It's not like they met when they were 12.
No, they were 18. Well, yeah, it's not like Maggie's Christmas miracle.
Yeah. They met when they were 18. She didn't have a vague recollection of this guy.
Well, they did have like one of those wondering recognition.
But, I mean, how different can this dude look?
He looks very different. But that's just because they got.
I'm saying this just by the stupid grin of his alone, she should have known.
So she finds out when he gives the toast.
Yeah.
No, when the father of the bride gives the toast, that's his brother.
Uh-huh.
And he says, "We were here for Christmas a long time ago, and I ran out into the street and my brother saved me. We both woke up in the hospital." He was in the hospital for months.
Right.
He said months.
Mm-hmm.
And his brother says, "Thank you so much for saving me. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here today."
Right.
Right. And then she's like, "Oh, maybe I should have listened.
Maybe I should have listened.
Maybe I should have listened."
That's a good excuse, I guess.
Yeah. And so then she is looking for him. They reconnect. Mm-hmm. And basically he's like, "Look, I'm not going to Alaska." He like cuts the chase because God forbid he should wait till she asks him a question, because she's just going to jump to conclusions. She's never going to ask. I mean, it was almost as frustrating as Christmas at Holly Lodge, where Sammy Brady, whatever her name is, I can't remember her real name, Sammy Brady from Days of Our Lives, that actress, she's like, "I'm listening," and she's clearly not listening.
Right.
And this is another one of those. I shudder to think what this relationship is going to be looking like when they can't. I understand their stress planning a wedding and you aren't together.
Right.
But the lack of communication skills exhibited by this couple really makes me feel fear for the future of their relationship.
Yeah.
And especially her. The whole thing with the son.
Yeah.
You know, he's got two job offers. She goes, "Whatever you choose, I'll support you." The next morning he goes, I turned down both those jobs. I'm not going to New York." She's like, "Are you sure that was a good move? Wait, you said you would support him." So then when the uncle says, the uncle says, "You know, you have more than yourself to worry about here now. Like, that seems very irresponsible." She's like, "You were rude to my son and you second guessed him." And blah, blah, blah. Nothing that she didn't just do. Oh, my God. And then they all apologize. At least they all apologize.
Yeah. My problem was, you know, she goes and she's talking to somebody else and the kid overhears when she says,
"Oh, yeah,
that, oh, I can't believe, I have, how am I to tell him that
I did have love at first sight."
You know, it wasn't his father in that story of love at first sight. And the kid is standing there and he overhears it and he acts like the world just collapsed underneath him. And puts his hand to his head and walks off.
Yeah, this is not a good time to have the conversation.
Yeah, and I'm going, come on.
Yeah, but then they go away and he's like, "What's the problem?"
it's like my brother didn't get that upset when we found out my father wasn't at Iwo Jima. Like he always joked.
Oh, I was going to say there's more to that story. I never heard that.
No, every time the sands at Iwo Jima were on, my father said he was at Iwo Jima. And when Richie was a young boy, we went to Washington, D.C.
and saw the memorial.
And saw the Iwo Jima Memorial. And little Richie, "Which one were you, Dad?" And we all started laughing because
you knew it was a joke.
We knew it was a joke. It was never at Iwo Jima. And everyone had a good laugh about it. No one put their hand to their head. Like, Richie didn't stalk off going, you lied to me.
Yeah, the fact that she had to keep that secret. There was no reason for her to keep that secret either.
Right. Like, what difference does it make?
So I don't know. So that's what I'm saying. The propensity to lie or, you know, obfuscate.
Because all you have to
do for no reason
is if she could have told that story many a time. I say, you know, I was going to, me and this other kid, and we thought it was love at first sight, and we were going to meet, and he never showed up.
And I met your dad instead.
I met your dad and fell in love with him.
Yeah. I don't know what the problem was.
Yeah.
Except she was always thinking that guy was number two to the,
yeah,
you know, like.
She had a thing for that beau.
Yeah, there was something underneath it all.
Yeah.
But then she was so mean to him, even when she found out, like.
Yeah.
Then she was like, I, you know, there's no reason for us to be friendly, and turning him down for dinner. And I, yeah. So anyway, yeah. One.
A one. Wow. One. I'll give it a one as well. It's just a bunch of sourpusses.
Yeah. Although the bright spot was Sage Kitchen. Number one, her name. Sage. Number two, she was good. You know, you could see her in her dirndl.
Say it. What the hell's that dude's name we always talk about? Like Paul Escalante.
Oh, or something. Oh yeah.
I was about to say, but I can't remember his name.
It's not Escalante. It's
Esco.
Not Escobar and not Escalante.
Yeah.
But.
Oh, it's. never mind. Well, the joke, it's lost. I was going to say Sage Kitchen is no.
Yeah. No name we can't remember.
Yeah. See?
But next week, Nazneen
Contractor. That's right. Ellie's favorite actress's name.
That's right. All Sage Kitchen is better.
Yeah, the Nazneen Contractor.
Yeah. Sage Kitchen.
Yeah, so.
Are you going to look up that Paul Escondido or
no,
whatever?
No, I'm not looking up Paul.
Oh.
I know it's Paul, though.
Estobriantes. We'll just make up a name every time.
Because remember, we've got that movie coming up. Oh my goodness.
Sorry.
Freaking auto playing. What? Stop. The Hallmark Channel has auto playing videos. Then I switched web pages.
Right.
Their website has auto-playing videos. Right. That's what you heard. You heard the Martha Vineyard Mysteries.
Oh. She breaks a whole plate glass window to get in that,
yeah.
In that building.
So we also have Jen Lilly coming up.
Oh, yeah.
With who the heck?
Who is that guy? I can't picture him. But it's one we know.
New Year's movies. I'm clicking the link.
Oh, you mean I've been calling these Winterfest and their New Year's?
Oh, that dude with the beard from...
Right. From the Hope Calls the Heart.
Yeah, Hope Calls the Heart. And he was also the sea captain.
Yes.
In that...
The one Nikki with Autumn Deloche. Reeser. No, Autumn Reeser.
Oh, that's right. It was Autumn Reeser.
Not oh, wait. No.
No, she was a captain, Nikki.
It wasn't Nikki Deloche.
No, it was Autumn Reeser. You are correct.
No. Autumn Reeser
no.
was...
She was in that one, too.
No, but this is the one where it's the younger woman who wants to save Blue Island.
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
oh,
she's
it's a
blonde.
Younger woman?
It's a ditzy blonde.
Oh.
Sorry.
Okay.
I probably just offended half
she's
our
a
listeners.
Ditzy blonde.
Not all blondes are ditzy.
That's right.
But she was ditzy-ish. She's the one who goes, like, I always wanted to save the one I thought that they were going to use, the fact that the island was the home of this piping plover or whatever that was going to be some endangered bird.
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't. It was just somebody just decides not to sell, or she goes to her uncle and says, please don't sell the, you know, it's a protected island and the town is going to sell it to raise revenue.
Rocky Mountain Christmas?
No. What? That one I'm describing?
No. Yeah. I'm trying to figure out which one.
Oh, no. It's not a Christmas movie. It was a summer or autumn one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, what was his Rocky Mountain Christmas. I don't even know that one. Are you looking him up?
Yeah. It doesn't say it's only talking about his
Christmas movies
and his work on other networks.
Oh.
Yeah. So, Chris McNally.
Chris McNally, that's who that is?
Yes. He's in Snowkissed with Jen Lilly.
Oh, yeah. And he's like it's his first time as a tour guide, and she calls him charming and funny, and we can't wait to find out whether or not he's actually funny.
That's right. If you describe someone as funny, they better be funny. They better do something funny.
Right. Excuse me. Sorry.
All right. But you looking up trying to find that movie?
Right. Oh, I don't see it. The Sweetest Heart.
The Sweetest Heart?
Yeah. He was also in A Winter Princess. Is that the one where she's the... No, it's not
she's the one. She's the one with the Winter Carnival that she's planning?
Yeah, but I don't think that's him. A Winter Princess. There's no link.
We'll look it up. And when...
Yeah, so when anyway.
Snow Kiss comes on, we'll be ready.
We'll be ready.
We will have it all notated.
That's right. So I think we've talked about a lot of movies. Yes. We even managed to talk about The Countdown, which we did not watch the whole thing.
Yes.
Just the very end of it. When Winter and Vale came on,
and we thought that was number one. We thought, yeah, that's right. It should be
number one. But
oh, and we also discussed which female actors on Hallmark movies are the best real criers.
Oh yes, and hands down, Lacey Chabert. She is the best.
Drop of a hat, she can turn on the waterworks.
That's right. And she is convincing.
And she's got that one where the glassy-eyed.
Uh-huh.
Where not out and out crying, but just like on the verge.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Nope, she's the best crier.
Yeah.
So if you want to tell us who you think is the best crier, you can send us an email at
MarksTheSpotMail.
MarksTheSpotMail@gmail.com.
We're considering short getting an email address that's a little shorter than that.
Marks but, the Spot was taken?
Yes. Why do you think I took Marks the Spot Mail?
Well,
Marks the Spot was taken, yes.
You can send us an email and tell us that it's too long, and then we'll shorten it.
Yes.
Well, it's like, what'd you call it?
What?
Hallmark's the Spot, HTS.
HMTS.
All right, HMTS.
Yes, that was taken too.
Okay, well, anyway, we could talk about our Gmail account all we want, but it's never going to...
Right. You can also check out one of our other fine podcasts at damshow.co, damshow.co.
Destroy All Movies.
Destroy All Movies.
The other podcast in the Damn Junior Podcasting Network.
Yeah.
And
in a few short episodes, it'll be our 350th episode of that.
Are you going to do something special?
Something or other. Maybe. Yeah,
maybe.
An extravaganza.
Yeah. Well, it is funny. What did you just review?
We did a rewatch of Attack of the Clones.
Oh, that's right. You were rewatching all the prequels.
We're going to rewatch all the Star Wars movies in order in chronological order.
Oh.
And in between other movie shows, you know, like not one right after the other.
Okay.
We kind of sprinkle them in.
Sprinkle them in. Okay.
Every second or third episode.
Right. Sounds exciting.
It does. Sounds very exciting.
That's what happens when you don't have new movies every week like we do. We're so lucky.
Yes, Hallmark keeps cranking them out.
They do. All right. Well, have a good week. Stay safe.
Happy Winterfest.
Happy Winterfest. And we will be back probably next week to talk about some movie.
Whatever the movie of the week is.
That's right.
Nazneen Contract.
Well, that's right. We will be back to talk about next week's movie of the week. Have a good one.
Bye.